266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Biden comes out swinging after special counsel Robert Hur's report clears him of criminal wrongdoing in his classified documents case, but characterizes the president's memory as poor and Biden himself unable to remember key life events.
There's even reference that I don't remember when my son died. How in the hell dare he raise that?
Vladimir Putin used an interview with Tucker Carlson to urge Washington to recognize Moscow's interests and convince Ukraine to sit down for talks.
In this case, you should tell the current Ukrainian leadership to stop and come to a negotiating table.
The interview on the Tucker Carlson Network, Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson wins his second career NFL MVP award.
I guess I'm in elite company, you know, and that's great. It means a lot, man. It means a lot.
He says the only thing that would mean more is being in Sunday's Super Bowl. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. An attorney with energy company Enbridge tried to vacate an order that would shut down part of the Line 5 pipeline that goes through the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewas Reservation. Enbridge's attorney argued before a federal appellate court Thursday. They say that a treaty between the United States and Canada bars any authority from impeding the flow of oil between the countries. A federal judge last year ordered the pipeline to be moved off the reservation within 3 years. The daughter of an inmate who killed himself at the Waupun State Prison is suing state officials. Megan Hoffman says they didn't give him adequate mental health care and medication. Dean Hoffman was found dead in his cell in 2023 on his ninth day in solitary confinement. He's one of at least three inmates who died at Waupun that year. I'm Nate Wiggehoe, Civic Media News.
The Bucks with another loss. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks slump continues. They lost at home to the Timberwolves, 129-105. Doc Rivers says his team was tired from their five-game road trip. Rivers asked about the team trading for one of his former players on the 76ers, Patrick Beverley.
He is a very, very high IQ player, especially defensively, and even offensively with his movement and stuff and setting picks. He's also an instigator. He's a big talker defensively, not meaning trash talk, meaning he talks on defense, and I think those are some of the things that we need.
The Bucks also traded Robin Lopez to the Sacramento Kings for a cash consideration. Robin showed up to the Bucks game reading a book. His twin brother, Brooke, back after missing three games, was asked if he spotted Robin in the seats in street clothes.
Did you notice Robin sitting courtside, eating popcorn?
Yeah, he was there. He's found a way to show up somehow.
That's the Bucks' Brooke Lopez. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Jim from Racine, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jim.
I voted for Reagan back in the day. I guess I've been supporting more of the Democratic Party for the last 40 years or so, but people don't say, oh, man, she's a Republican, she's a Democrat, she's a whatever. I'm a human being. All these other things aren't important. We need to unite against a bigger threat. I think the threat is us becoming dictatorship. They want us to fail.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is still going to be mild today, but we have some pretty big changes coming our way today. Sunshine with a high of 51 by early afternoon. Temperatures are going to start to drop by later today, down into the low to mid 40s by late afternoon. Wind today southwest at 15 to 25. Tomorrow will be sunny and even colder with a high of 38. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Shaw. 101.1 FM and 540 AM WAUK. And on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
1670 AM, The Zone. Sure, she'll stop farming when pigs fly. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Honestly, I don't know. Maybe that's the next thing that's going to surprise me. Pigs flying, because I would have never imagined that Wisconsin would experience an actual tornado in the month of February. Morning, everybody. Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Youngke greeting you on this finally Friday. And I'll tell you what, this weather is just unbelievable. Tornadoes yesterday, no snow on the ground around the state of Wisconsin, and temperatures that are coming back to normal, maybe starting as soon as today. I enjoyed that warmer weather yesterday, but not at the expense of having a tornado in my neighborhood, that is for sure. Today, it looks like it's going to be another moderate day. Sunshine on the way, 44 our expected high, should be calm even as far as winds are concerned. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 38. Sunday, partly cloudy and 39. Monday, we're at 42, Tuesday, 40 degrees, then back into the upper 30s by midweek. We'll talk with Stumacher, ag meteorologist, get you as many details as we have at this stage in the game on the tornado that came through the Evansville, Stoughton area yesterday afternoon. And of course, your weekend forecast, just in case you're planning on doing some celebrating for the Super Bowl. Speaking of this weather, Stephanie Hoff is going to join us this morning. Our Wisconsin maple syrup producers not very happy with what's happening on the weather. They started tapping earlier than they probably have ever tapped, and now they wonder how long the season is going to extend if we keep temperatures that are well above average. She's got that update for us. And it is a Friday, so we want to recognize another one of our farm families across the state celebrating 100 or 150 years of ownership in the same family. Our sesquicentennial century farm salute on the way. And don't forget the deadline for you to submit your entries, your story, if you will, for recognition at the Wisconsin State Fair and the century sesquicentennial farms or homes you own and love. The deadline for application is March 1st. If you're still looking for the information, still looking for that application, we've got it up on our website now, MidwestFarmReport.com. Just click on the Century Sesquicentennial tab, and you'll be able to download it right there. But remember, the deadline for application, March 1st.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
You may know Rural Mutual Insurance as the number one farm insurer. But did you know they also offer competitive home, auto, business, and life insurance? They make it convenient to bundle your insurance while saving you time and money. Visit RuralMutual.com to learn more.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Celebrate our century and sesquicentennial farms across Wisconsin. There is a growing list of farms that have been family-owned or operated for over 100 or 150 years. You can find out about them all year long thanks to our friends at Compeer Financial. Meet the families, hear their stories, and take a trip down memory lane by logging onto MidwestFarmReport.com. New farms are featured each Friday on our morning show. Celebrate century and sesquicentennial farms with the Midwest Farm Report.
Our holiday celebrations may be in the rearview mirror, but in China, they're just getting ready for their big event. You can bet that even on the other side of the world, Wisconsin agriculture is part of that celebration. I'm Charity Seebecker from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. And Jackie Fett, executive director of the Ginseng Board of Wisconsin, says that the Chinese New Year is an important time of year for Wisconsin ginseng growers. That's because the world-renowned American ginseng has cultural significance as a gift there. She explains more about this root's importance in China and how they're working to create more opportunities for Wisconsin ginseng growers.
We are celebrating Wisconsin ginseng because of the Chinese New Year, which begins on February 10th. The holiday lasts until February 24th. This is the year of the dragon. The holiday is celebrated across Asia, and each country has its own customs and traditions. In China, it's the most important festival. It's a time for feasts, gifting, and a time for family. Popular rituals include serving food that symbolizes good fortune and making resolutions concerning what one hopes to accomplish in the next year. Wisconsin ginseng is a very popular gift in many Asian cultures. It is a gift of good health, and it is used in many of the dishes that are served throughout the holiday.
So why is Wisconsin ginseng so prevalent and so wanted there?
Wisconsin ginseng is known for being very high quality, and it produces a unique taste that's recognized all over the world. This bittersweet taste is treasured by many Asian people. Wisconsin ginseng is known to be the most potent and therefore has high amounts of its active ingredient, which are ginsenosides. Ginseng also has a wide variety of health benefits. It is known to help boost energy and support a healthy immune system.
How much of American ginseng is sold, or maybe what stats can you give us about the amount of Wisconsin-grown ginseng that is going to China for their New Year's event?
So we have about 100 growers registered in the state of Wisconsin, and we grow about 1 million pounds of cultivated ginseng annually. About 85% of the cultivated ginseng grown in Wisconsin is exported to China. It is our number one market.
What are some of the other key markets that we work with?
Yeah, sure. We also work with Taiwan, Vietnam, Malaysia, Singapore, Japan. We're trying to expand into new markets like India, for example.
What is the alternative of Wisconsin ginseng for the Chinese consumer perspective then?
Chinese consumers want to use Wisconsin ginseng. It is their preferred growing region. American ginseng, which is the type that we grow here, is also grown in China and in Canada. Because of this, there is a lot of mislabeling in our industry. Ginseng grown in other regions is often represented in the market as being grown in Wisconsin. So it's very confusing for consumers and even for retail shop owners to know if they're truly getting authentic Wisconsin ginseng.
And you mentioned that you guys are working to expand the markets for Wisconsin ginseng. How are you guys helping our Wisconsin ginseng growers create those relationships with those in China to be able to help them celebrate their New Year festival?
One of the ways that we really try to build those relationships is by traveling to their markets and helping them represent that they are purchasing Wisconsin ginseng, because when we're there, it adds to the credibility of their brand and helps show their consumers that they are truly using Wisconsin ginseng.
You guys did recently travel to China for a trade mission. Can you tell me a little bit more about that? What you guys did? Maybe some of even the key things that you guys learned?
Yeah, sure. In November, we took our International Wisconsin Ginseng Festival overseas. It was a fully packed schedule of many activities to promote Wisconsin ginseng. We started in Taiwan and showcased Wisconsin ginseng products and importers at an annual herb festival there. As part of the activities in Taiwan, there were media interviews, ginseng food sampling, a tea-making activity, and a tour of the traditional Chinese medicine sector of the city. We also met with traders and the agricultural trade office there. Then we flew to Shanghai, where we met with potential and existing traders and the Agricultural Trade Office representatives. Next, we went to Guangzhou, where we held a press conference and a nutrition seminar, which highlighted Wisconsin ginseng dishes. We conducted a market review, and we met with the Agricultural Trade Office representatives there. Finally, we went to Hong Kong, where we conducted a re-signing ceremony for one of our seal partners, CR Care, and then we held an influencer event with about 30 popular influencers in Hong Kong. This event also recognized our trade partners and featured a variety of food items containing Wisconsin ginseng. It was a very productive trip for us.
How were Wisconsin ginseng growers perceived then? Or can you give me maybe some of the feedback that you guys received while you were there from those in China, of those who maybe really enjoy it, or just some of the conversations that you had? What stuck out to you?
That's what I enjoy most about actually traveling overseas, is you can see the impact that our product makes. They are very happy to have us there. We are treated with such high hospitality and respect, and they really want to learn about Wisconsin ginseng since they value it so much. It'd be like us welcoming a celebrity almost. So they're very welcoming and humbling trips, honestly.
Were there any key opportunities or conversations that you had that you're excited now to see what's next?
Yeah, actually, there's a pretty exciting thing happening in China right now. Recently, right after we came back from China, they announced that the Chinese government announced that American ginseng will be able to be used in food products going forward. Formerly, it was only to be used in traditional Chinese medicine products. But with this new change in regulation, we'll be able to expand the promotion of our product for food use now.
So what will our growers then in Wisconsin have to do in order to help get into that new market?
We're still unsure of what the regulations are going to be in regards to the importing standards. They announced the rules changing, but we don't have any information on the standards yet. But it's a good first step into allowing us to use our product in new ways in that market.
And what else is next for you guys, the Ginseng Board of Wisconsin, moving forward now throughout 2024?
Yeah, we're kind of actually really excited because USDA announced a new program that's going to be available to commodities to help expand exports and increase promotional efforts. This program is called the Regional Agricultural Promotion Program, or RAP, but this will allow us to further our promotion and marketing efforts in a number of countries and allow us to do more marketing activities because our current funding is, you know, pretty small compared to a lot of other commodities. So we're excited to get some potential new funds to help us promote Wisconsin ginseng more.
And for those who are listening who maybe don't know a whole lot about Wisconsin ginseng, can you explain a little bit about how it's grown and just how dedicated these farmers really are so they can grow this and then send it to China for their New Year celebration?
It's one of the hardest crops that we grow here in Wisconsin. It takes 3 to 4 years until the plant reaches maturity. There is a lot of hand labor involved with growing this crop because the shade structures are all assembled by hand. The product needs to be hand weeded throughout the growing season, and then it's all harvested by hand as well. And there's a lot of equipment modifications that need to be made in order to do the harvesting and the washing and drying and that sort of thing. So it is a lot, a very intense product to grow.
And if somebody maybe wants to try some Wisconsin ginseng, where do you suggest that they go to try some, or maybe what are even the best ways to consume it?
Just because there's so much mislabeling in our industry, I suggest that the listeners buy from a reputable source. We have a list of many of these companies on our shop page of our website, which is realwisconsinginseng.com. And then also on our website, we have a list of recipes that can be used to try ginseng, because I'm sure not many people either cook or use ginseng in their normal lives, and it really adds a nice bitter punch to a lot of dishes. And we've been experimenting with some new recipes that are all listed out there on our website, so it's been really fun to try some new things.
Are there any new recipes maybe that you guys are going to bring back now from your time in China?
Well, in China, they tend to cook with ginseng a lot more traditionally. So the focus on our website, realwisconsinginseng.com, is to really focus on how Americans with our taste buds might consume ginseng in a more palatable way towards us.
That was Jackie Fett, Executive Director of the Ginseng Board of Wisconsin. She added that exports have remained stable despite challenges posed by high Chinese tariffs and the COVID-19 pandemic. And the Ginseng Board of Wisconsin is excited for those new market opportunities ahead. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
The story of Black History Month starts in Chicago. It's 1915 and thousands are there to celebrate. 50 years since the Emancipation Proclamation and the end of slavery. The gathering also inspires civic organizations to uncover the many achievements of Black citizens. By 1926, the celebration of African American history is official. This also is a time for rising racial pride. The Black middle class is expanding, and industrial cities like Milwaukee are luring African Americans with good jobs. There's so much more to tell you. Listen for the next Black History Month story here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black history story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram. Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show Friday at 8 a.m. when Sandy Williams and I will be joined in the studio by United States Senator Ron Johnson. I'm Earl Ingram.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
On The Shaw, 540 a.m. and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
Tornado in February. Time for a Compere Financial Ag Weather Update. Stu Muck, Ag Meteorologist, along with us. Yeah, I can't even believe I'm saying that. I mean, later in the hour, we're talking about how goofed up this weather is and how goofed up our maple syrup production is. But I don't think I'd ever have fathomed a tornado in February, Stu.
Yeah, we don't think about it, but there was enough warm air building in with this system and that front that dropped through, touched on near Albany. Where else were you telling me, Pam?
By Edgerton and came
Edgerton.
Yep, up through Stoughton. It kind of came through Stoughton going towards Cottage Grove and then ended up in the Jefferson Fort Atkinson area. It was fizzing by the time that it had touched down outside of Evansville and that, but I guess all, not Albany, in that neck of the woods anyhow. The good news is it sounds like snap power poles, about 100 people still without power this morning. Obviously trees down, roof damage, but fortunately no loss of lives. But if you drive in that area, you might have to take a detour around live power wires this morning.
Yeah, around some things down. Again, the first tornado in Wisconsin in February, I was seeing some information about hail and everything like that near Oconomowoc, Sussex as well late last evening. That system has cleared out. The low pressure system has moved off to our north, north of Lake Superior, and it's pulled the precipitation with it. The radar indicating some rain up in the UP and further up over Lake Superior. Some cloudiness and a little cooler day. Still a bit breezy here, but we start to dry things out. Sunshine returning a little later today, certainly into the weekend. Temperatures closer to normal. Daytime highs in the 30s this weekend instead of 40s. That's a lot closer to normal. We should be right about 30 for a high right now. So we get back to those normal temps in the weekend. Warming it up again next week, and I look ahead a bit. Next week, about the mid part of the week, some rain or snow, and could very well be talking about some snow by that time. I'll have forecast details right after this.
At Compere Financial, we're defined by you, your hopes for the future, as well as what you need today. As a local member-owned cooperative, you shape how we serve agriculture and rural communities. As a partner and part of your community, we're here for you with personalized service and expertise you can rely on. Contact your local Compere Financial team at 844-426-6733 or visit compere.com/you for your lending and other financial needs. Compere Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2022, all rights reserved.
Incoming! Don't worry, it's not raining elephants. That's just the sound of Dairyland Seed delivering our strongest silage lineup ever, again. Get ready for even better trait quality, even greater tonnage potential, and even more milk per acre. See how Dairyland Seed silage outperformed the competition in your area at showmethesilageyield.com. That's showmethesilageyield.com.
All right, buddy, let's have that forecast. The tornado and all that craziness in the rearview mirror now.
Yeah, and we don't have a whole lot of rain. I'm seeing some amounts of a tenth of an inch or so, 1/100ths of an inch at Fond du Lac, 1/15ths at Plymouth in eastern Wisconsin. Those are some of the heavier ones this morning. My expectation will be a more cloudy start, but partly sunny, kind of breezy yet today. Mid-40s with west winds gusting near 25. Partly cloudy overnight, a bit cooler, below freezing. How about that? Mid or upper 20s with the northwest winds at 5 to 10. Partly sunny tomorrow, even and more sun, especially in the south and east. I'd expect temps in the upper 30s with the northwest winds 5 to 15. Partly sunny Sunday, upper 30s again, northwest winds at 5 to 10. And with sun in the 40s for Monday, Pam, but some snow chance later Wednesday or on toward Thursday, just on the road.
Oh, we could use it. We literally could use it. And I'm not necessarily a fan of snow, don't get me wrong. But, man, I'll tell you, this is just weird out there now.
Yeah, we need some snow cover back on the soil and back on the wintering crops, and we need to get back to kind of normal.
Yeah, agreed. All right, dude, have a good weekend. We will catch up with you and do a postmortem on the Super Bowl Monday, okay?
Absolutely. We'll see you then.
Stumacher, ag meteorologist with your Compure Financial Ag Weather Update. Compure Financial is your financial partner. Committed to agriculture and rural America. See Compure.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw.
540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
The story of Black History Month starts in Chicago. It's 1915 and thousands are there to celebrate. 50 years since the Emancipation Proclamation and the end of slavery. The gathering also inspires civic organizations to uncover the many achievements of black citizens. By 1926, the celebration of African American history is official. This also is a time for rising racial pride. The black middle class is expanding, and industrial cities like Milwaukee are luring African Americans with good jobs. There's so much more to tell you. Listen for the next Black History Month story here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Now I guess I'm just rooting for Kansas City because it's more about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift for me. It is at this point, and I want to congratulate Taylor Swift for making the Super Bowl in her rookie season. There's not a lot of rookies in the NFL who make it all the way to the big game, but she did, and you know if they win, she's getting a ring.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and
CBS
on the
CBS News
app.
Brief. President Biden comes out swinging after special counsel Robert Hur's report clears him of criminal wrongdoing in his classified documents case, but characterizes the president's memory as poor and Biden himself unable to remember key life events.
There's even reference that I don't remember when my son died. How in the hell dare he raise that?
Vladimir Putin used an interview with Tucker Carlson to urge Washington to recognize Moscow's interests and convince Ukraine to sit down for talks.
In this case, you should tell the current Ukrainian leadership to stop and come to negotiating table.
The interview on the Tucker Carlson Network, Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson wins his second career NFL MVP award.
I guess I'm in elite company, you know, and that's great. It means a lot, man.
He says the only thing that would mean more is being in Sunday's Super Bowl. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggeho. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. An attorney with energy company Enbridge tried to vacate an order that would shut down part of the Line 5 pipeline that goes through the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewas Reservation. Enbridge's attorney argued before a federal appellate court Thursday. They say that a treaty between the United States and Canada bars any authority from impeding the flow of oil between the countries. A federal judge last year ordered the pipeline to be moved off the reservation within 3 years. The daughter of an inmate who killed himself at the Waupun State Prison is suing state officials. Megan Hoffman says they didn't give him adequate mental health care and medication. Dean Hoffman was found dead in his cell in 2023 on his ninth day in solitary confinement. He's one of at least three inmates who died at Waupun that year. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks with another loss. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks slump continues. They lost at home to the Timberwolves, 129-105. Doc Rivers says his team was tired from their five-game road trip. Rivers asked about the team trading for one of his former players on the 76ers, Patrick Beverley.
He is a very, very high IQ player, especially defensively and even offensively with his movement and stuff and setting picks. He's also an instigator. He's a big talker defensively, not meaning trash talk, meaning he talks on defense. And I think those are some of the things that we need.
The Bucks also traded Robin Lopez to the Sacramento Kings for a cash consideration. Robin showed up to the Bucks game reading a book. His twin brother, Brooke, back after missing three games, was asked if he spotted Robin in the seats in street clothes.
Did you notice Robin sitting courtside eating popcorn?
Yeah, he was there. He's found a way to show up somehow.
That's the Bucks' Brooke Lopez. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is still going to be mild today, but we have some pretty big changes coming our way today. Sunshine with a high of 51 by early afternoon. Temperatures are going to start to drop by later today, down into the low to mid 40s by late afternoon. Wind today southwest at 15 to 25. Tomorrow will be sunny and even colder with a high of 38. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 38.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
The story of Black History Month starts in Chicago. It's 1915 and thousands are there to celebrate. 50 years since the Emancipation Proclamation and the end of slavery. The gathering also inspires civic organizations to uncover the many achievements of black citizens. By 1926, the celebration of African American history is official. This also is a time for rising racial pride. The black middle class is expanding, and industrial cities like Milwaukee are luring African Americans with good jobs. There's so much more to tell you. Listen for the next Black History Month story here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
Earl Ingram.
Sandy. People are talking about influencers. I don't see too many septuagenarians or octogenarian influencers.
They're alive.
We're trying. Radio shows like this are our efforts to be influencers, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, we can possibly be influencers.
Well, maybe. I don't know.
Calvin's laughing.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
The immigration challenge in this country, as Jorge Ramos, the great author, likes to say, you can build as many and high walls and deep walls as you possibly want. But until you start addressing the problem within countries, people will keep coming. For all of our faults, people still look at America as that shining city on a hill and want to come here, and I believe that makes us stronger.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
You look at Taylor Swift, she fought off the bitterness of defeat when she lost her records, when she was kind of duped by a manager. People who told her she'd never amount to anything. But it doesn't matter if you like her music or not. I'm a fan of anyone. Doesn't matter whether they're an artist or an athlete, or just a common Jane or Joe. If you've overcome something in your life, you're a winner. If you've made it through, that's what it's all about.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and
your home
of
the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
It's the best game you've ever seen. It's the greatest play in NBA history. It's the most remarkable moment the NFL has ever seen. We get so sucked in to the micro, into the here and now. And
roses are red, violets are blue, and you bet she'll be talking farming with you. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Pretty mild Friday on the way. Sunshine, 44 degrees. Winds today, maybe out of the west-southwest, could jump up to 20 miles an hour. Tomorrow, partly cloudy skies, 38. Super Bowl Sunday, partly cloudy and 39. Monday, 42 degrees. Tuesday, 40 degrees. Not much in the way of precipitation now in the forecast for the next few days. I'm Pam Yankee. So glad you're along with us. We are going to be focusing our attention on another one of the farm families celebrating ownership of their farm and home for 100 or 150 years. Stick around for that salute on the way. Wisconsin is in the crosshairs for the new season of Top Chef. This has been something that's been developing for the past 8 to 12 months. Now we can finally talk about it. Stick around for details there. World Championship Cheese Contest. More than 3,300 entries from around the world coming to Madison for the first week of March. And that world competition, all those details and more on the way. Like I said, weather pretty mild today. I am looking for any information you might have on the damage done last evening with that surprise tornado. February in Wisconsin and a tornado. Hard to believe. But then again, take a look around Wisconsin. It's hard to believe. If you've got any information about damage that might have been done, especially to our farm structures, livestock, anything like that, please send it to me on our talk text line. That's 877-301-FARM. 877-301-3276. You can attach pictures if you'd like. If it's more than you want to put on your phone, you can email it to me, pam@midwestfarmreport.com. pam@midwestfarmreport.com. I'd appreciate it. So today is the 9th day of February. What can I tell you? Well, appropriately enough, on this day back in 1870, President Ulysses S. Grant signed a joint resolution authorizing a National Weather Service, which had been a dream for a scientist in Milwaukee named Increase Latham. He was a 19th century premier natural scientist that really looked at weather and proposed a National Weather Service after he mapped data over telegraph lines in the upper Midwest. Finally, the National Weather Service, authorized by President Ulysses S. Grant on this day in 1870. On this day in 1964, the Beatles started their first tour in the United States. They called it the British Invasion, and the first place they stopped, the Ed Sullivan Show, as you might expect. Happy birthday today to actor Joe Pesci. He is 81 years young. And former sexiest man, Michael B. Jordan. He is 37 years young. And now you know. Well, we can't help it. All eyes focused on Wisconsin's weather and the erratic patterns that farmers are being forced to deal with already. Earlier than normal season, for example, for our Wisconsin maple syrup producers. Stephanie Hoff has the story.
Steve Anderson joins us. He's the president of the Wisconsin Maple Syrup Producers Association, and he's the third generation on Anderson Maple Syrup in Cumberland. He tells us how the unseasonably warm weather is impacting sugar bushes around the state.
This abnormally warm weather has caused the trees to start to run, and not unusual. You know, you get that January thaw that will make the trees run a little bit, but it's, what's unusual about it is that this thaw lasted almost 3 weeks. And a lot of people, including here, we got excited and we went out and tapped the trees with a tubing vacuum system. The system itself kind of seals the holes so that they'll last longer until we pull the spouts out. Where somebody with a bucket and an open spout, their holes will start to heal. So you don't want to tap too early because of that. But with a vacuum tubing system, you can get away with tapping a little bit early. And we haven't cooked here yet. I think the first cooking from our woods will be in the next couple of days. And then it looks to me like it's going to just shut down for hopefully a couple of months and then start back up again when it's supposed to. I have heard from people south of us have made a fair amount of syrup. A lot of little hobby producers have been calling and kind of talking about how much sap they're getting. And, you know, we kind of consider a gallon of sap per tap you put out is a pretty good day. Anything more than that is a better day, I guess. We've been hearing a lot of people that have been making that the last few days, and I expect it to continue for a couple of more days. And the more the sun comes out, the more it runs. And today the sun was out pretty good, at least in our area. So I expect this to be kind of a short little season before the real season. I believe the weather forecast shows no more warm days in the forecast. Everything's below freezing, even the highs beyond that. Our hope is we get a little bit of snow so we can get some ground cover. We have absolutely no snow anywhere right now. We just got those little piles from the snowplow is all that's left.
Steve, what does the snow cover have to do with it?
So what it does, it does two things. When the ground is covered, it's white. White reflects the sun. And so then the earth doesn't heat up as quickly. And that helps hold the temperature, the average temperatures down. So what we, and it also insulates the ground so that the frost doesn't come out too quickly. We like the frost to kind of come out a little bit slower. It prolongs our season. It keeps, and then those lower temperatures from having some snow cover keep the highs from not getting too high and keeps the lows getting a little bit lower. Ideally, we're looking for something like 12 to 15 degrees at night and, you know, maybe 40 during the daytime. You know, we like that big swing. And that's what the snow cover will help extend a season versus having brown ground that's heating up in the atmosphere and causing it to warm up faster than we need it to or want it to.
So, Steve, you've been doing this for a long time, and I'm curious, when's the earliest you've tapped a tree? And is it better to have one of these early seasons than it is to have a late season?
I'll tell you, in June. This is by far the earliest anyone can ever remember. In Wisconsin, we've been talking to a lot of people, and nobody remembers making syrup this time of year before. There are people out there that always try to make a little bit of syrup in the fall because that's possible to make syrup in the fall when the trees are becoming dormant. It kind of has a similar reaction, but the season is so short that most people don't waste their time with it. But other than that, no one that I am aware of in the Midwest has ever gathered any amount of sap in early February, not to mention late January. It's not not as unusual in the east. The hills out there will, you know, cause a little different atmosphere from time to time. So there are people in the east that'll have early seasons like this, but very uncommon here in Wisconsin. I don't remember it. I talked to my dad. He doesn't remember it. He's 95, so.
And there's some insight from the woods on how this unseasonably warm weather is impacting sugar bushes across the state. Steve Anderson along with us. He's the president of the Wisconsin Maple Syrup Producers Association and the third generation operating Anderson Maple Syrup in Cumberland. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Thanks, Stephanie. We'll keep an eye on the weather and try to touch base with our maple syrup producers maybe a little bit later this winter. Boy, I'll tell you, the numbers are looking good for the upcoming World Championship Cheese Contest. More than 3,300 cheese, butter, yogurts, and dairy ingredient entries have been submitted. Show organizers say more than 400 dairy manufacturers from 25 countries and 32 American states have submitted entries for the World Championship Cheese Contest, Madison, Wisconsin, March 5th and 6th at the Monona Terrace Convention Center. And kind of keeping it dairy for you this morning,
Top Chef is back.
Give me that.
Woo. We've gathered rising star chefs from across the country here to Wisconsin. I need dairy.
Wisconsin!
Yeah, that's right. They said Bravo is bringing their Top Chef competition to Wisconsin. Now, this is something we knew was in development for a couple months now, but just getting permission from Top Chef to release the information now. They have toggled between locations in the Milwaukee area, the Madison area, up in Door County. Again, the new season of Bravo's Top Chef focused in on all things Wisconsin for 2024. Quick focus on the markets for you this morning in Chicago. Everything is lower yet again as far as the corn market is concerned. Looking at our December new crop corn this morning, that's trading down right now 2 cents at 470. Soybeans for November, they're currently trading down a nickel at 1167. The July new crop wheat, that's currently at 5.98 a bushel. Yesterday in Chicago, the barrel cheese dropped 0.75 cents to 156.75. 40-pound block cheese was down a penny and a quarter, 160.25. Double A butter, 2.5 cents lower at 274.5 per pound. Coming up next, I'm going to introduce you to a sesquicentennial farm celebrant from Sauk County. Stick around for my conversation with them next.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
The story of Black History Month starts in Chicago. It's 1915 and thousands are there to celebrate. 50 years since the Emancipation Proclamation and the end of slavery. The gathering also inspires civic organizations to uncover the many achievements of black citizens. By 1926, the celebration of African American history is official. This also is a time for rising racial pride. The black middle class is expanding, and industrial cities like Milwaukee are luring African Americans with good jobs. There's so much more to tell you. Listen for the next Black History Month story here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s. Time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
The Civic Media network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
At the same farmstead. We're heading to Sauk County now, where I'm visiting with Don Meyer, who's one of the owners of the farm that started way back in 1870. Goodness sakes. Tell me how it started, Don. Where did your great-grandpa come from?
My great-grandpa came from Germany, and he came in 1866. And then I know he worked in Madison because we found some love letters between him and my great-grandma from the time he'd go to Madison and work until he came home, I suppose, on weekends or once a month or whatever it was in those days. But then they were married in 1868, and then they made a first purchase of the farm, first 75 acres it was, in 1870.
So they purchased the farm in 1870, 75 acres. So what did they start out doing on the farm?
All I know is we found a chattel mortgage that he gave to his brother while he was still working in Madison to raise hops. So there has been hops raised on the farm at one time. There was nothing in any place that we could find out when the cattle first came. But I'm assuming they had the typical thing on the farm, like a couple of cows to their milk and some chickens and hogs so that they had meat and eggs and, mm-hmm. and milk. That's what my assumption is of that.
One of the challenges might have been, too, just trying to get enough resources around to get all that going in the right direction. Did they build a barn to start? How did they start out in a house?
We lived in an old house, and I was young, and I'm assuming that was built by him. It was a log house. Now, the barn, I don't have no record of what it was, but in his legacy there of the farm, they bought 20 more acres of woodland in 1896 from the neighbor. So the farm had grown to 95 acres, and then they held on to it for 31 years until they passed it on to my grandfather, which was William Meyer. They were the ones then that barn was built that I actually grew up in, and that was in, the barn was built in 1906. Also in that era, there was 55 more acres of workland and pasture added, so that grew the farm to 150 acres. When I came into the picture, that's what the original farm was. Their ownership then, him and his wife, Vilhelmina, had it for 28 years. He passed away in 1929 then. And so then it went from him to Vilhelmina, his estate. And my dad was the only boy, and he was 22 years old at that time. And so he worked the farm for my mother. And that was through the Depression years then.
What did he ever share with you about that, Don? I mean, just to think about what any homestead, but let alone farmers, went through at that time must have been something.
It was terrible, I guess, financially. He said, I can remember, I took a cow to town once. He says, I got $9 for the cow. And then his joke to that was, but I went uptown and bought a pair of overalls for 50 cents. So he went through some tough times. They also had a drought in that era. Mm. And he said one year, the first year of the drought, I think it was 1932, they got 9 loads of loose hay to feed their cows. And I'm assuming they probably had about 18 to 20 cows at that time. But his statement he did make, he says, if we wouldn't have had our farm free of debts, he says, I don't know if we would have made it. Because he said for 2 years, we didn't make enough money to pay expenses.
Right.
So didn't have much for expenses, or they could keep on, you know, going rather minimal expenses to what expenses are today.
Boy, and I bet that really changed the neighborhood. And I know that that would have been, you know, as things were happening up in that Sauk County area, like Badger Ammunition, et cetera.
They came into existence in the 40s, Badger Ammunition did. But then he worked with his mother then for 7 years. His mother still owned the farm, and they fought through the Depression. And then him and my mom got married on the 10th of June, 1936. And the farm was transferred to him the day after their wedding.
So now tell me a little bit about your dad and then how they kind of transitioned and moved forward.
They didn't add any land parcels to the farm, but I thought back to what I remember as in 1947, that always said they built the milk house the year I was born, and I was born in 1941. So that was their first milk house. We do have a picture of the farmstead at that time, and there was a utility pole out in front. So they had electricity, and I think they had electricity in about 1936.
Wow.
So that was early compared to what some of the people. But he did a lot of major improvements on the farm. Like I said, he built the milk house in 41. He bought a thrashing machine and built a shed for it in 1946. Well, then in 1947, I was 6 years old, and they built a brand new house. Mm-hmm. Well, in 56, he built a new double corn crib. Boy, we had the little old-fashioned corn cribs that were hard to fill. Everything had to be shoveled by hand into the cribs. And so he built a double corn crib so we could use the elevator to get a load of corn and for storage. So they owned it for 28 years. Then I got married in 1964. And that's when I also started a conservation plan. Mm. And that was what I enjoyed a lot, laying out the contour strips to save erosion and to be able to test soil on all the different fields, and I'd be able to increase my crop yields as well. And I'm still proud to say that waterway is still in existence today.
How about that? Such a commitment to the land. That's Don Meyer celebrating 150 years on their farmstead in Sauk County. Now, listen, you can hear more of my conversation with Don, more of our century sesquicentennial stories. All you need to do, pop on over to MidwestFarmReport.com. You'll see a tab at the top that says Century Sesquicentennial. Click there, pick the story you want to listen to. And don't forget, the deadline for this year's applications coming up on March 1st. Thanks again to our friends at Compeer Financial for helping us tell you all these century sesquicentennial stories. I'm Pam Yonke.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK.
A hands-off approach to grading cuts of beef today on Farm to Fork. With its increased efficiency and lower fuel costs, ag producers know that propane is better for their bottom line. And now direct payouts can impact your bottom line with the Propane Farm Incentive Program. Participate and you could receive payouts like up to $5,000 for propane irrigation engines and prime power generators, and up to $2,000 for propane building heat systems. Apply today at propane.com/farm incentive. Spring is just around the corner, and there's still time to upgrade to the latest technology from Ag Leader. From SureForce Downforce Control and SureSpeed High Accuracy Planting Systems to Right Spot Individual Nozzle Control for your sprayer, Ag Leader has you covered. Upgrade now and reap the benefits this season. Contact your local Ag Leader dealer or visit agleader.com. Meat grading is different from meat inspection. Inspections are done for food safety, while grading focuses on meat quality characteristics like taste and texture. Jennifer Porter is with the USDA's Agricultural Marketing Service.
USDA grade marks are used to communicate quality of product. In this particular case, we're talking about beef. You go to the grocery store, you see USDA Prime, USDA Choice. That is an indicator of what sort of eating experience that you should expect from that product.
Another difference, says Porter, is who picks up the tab. Inspections are publicly funded, while grading is a cost for the processor.
It is paid for by those facilities, unlike federal inspection carried out by the Food Safety Inspection Service. Grading is not required. So those graders that are there in those facilities, that service is paid for by the plant.
Porter says USDA is piloting something new with grading.
Once the plant is ready to actually do some grading, what they do is capture video and photos and transmit those to us. And a USDA grader has been evaluating them remotely.
Porter says it helps smaller processors in particular who either don't have the volume or the money to hire a full-time grader. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Coming up Friday on Matt and Air on Air, we recombobulate with Dan Schaefer at 10:33, and then all the news from Las Vegas and the big game from Mike Clemens. Join us.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weichert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Home ownership is a big deal, and so is taking the leap into the buying or selling of any property. The Weichert team gets that, and our job is to help you navigate the sales process and provide smooth sailing. You have questions? We have answers. You have worries? We have solutions. Let us open the door to your future home. Weichert Realtors Lake Point, 608-721-8002, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weichert-lakepoint.com.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
The story of Black History Month starts in Chicago. It's 1915, and thousands are there to celebrate. 50 years since the Emancipation Proclamation and the end of slavery. The gathering also inspires civic organizations to uncover the many achievements of Black citizens. By 1926, the celebration of African American history is official. This also is a time for rising racial pride. The Black middle class is expanding, and industrial cities like Milwaukee are luring African Americans with good jobs. There's so much more to tell you. Listen for the next Black History Month story here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.